Will you please turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew 16. We'll read from verse 13 onward. Matthew 16, 13. But when Jesus was come into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he demanded on his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some, John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and others again, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He says to them, But ye, who do ye say that I am? And Simon Peter answering said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answering said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but my Father who is in the heavens. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and Hades' gates shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, that whatsoever thou mayest bind upon the earth shall be bound in the heavens, and whatsoever thou mayest loose on the earth shall be loosed in the heavens. Then he enjoined on his disciples that they should say to no man that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that then he must go away to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and the third day be raised. And Peter, taking him to him, began to rebuke him, saying, God be favorable to thee, Lord. This shall in no wise be unto thee. But turning round, he said to Peter, Get away behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thy mind is not on the things that are of God, but on the things that are of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall desire to save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man profit if he should gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is about to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will render to each according to his doings. Verily I say unto you, there are some of those standing here that shall not taste of death at all, until they shall have seen the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days Jesus takes with him Peter and James and John his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone as the sun, and his garment became white as the light. And lo, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. And Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good we should be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, for thee one, and for Moses one, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. Hear him. And the disciples, hearing it, fell upon their faces, and were greatly terrified. And Jesus, coming to them, touched them, and said, Rise up, and be not terrified. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. Lord, as we gather here in thy presence to hear thy word. Thy word is holy, pure. Thy word is life, is spirit. Who is worthy to deliver thy word? Who is worthy to hear thy word? Lord, I am a man of unclean lips, dwelling among an unclean people. Wash me, wash us, that thy word may not be corrupted, may not lose its power. Lord, keep thy word from being letter that kills. Make thy word spirit that quickens. Oh, speak, Lord, thy servants hear it. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. I really feel a deep sense of unworthiness, of unfitness. Because it is such a serious thing in touching the Word of God. We can make the Word of God just letter. And how it kills. So may our prayer be that by the grace of God, His word may not just be letter, but it will be spirit that quickens us. Unless the Lord speaks again, by His word, our time here will be waste. But if He should speak, then His work shall be done. Because God's work is done by His word. We thank God He is the God who reveals Himself. We thank God that it pleases Him. It pleases Him to reveal His Son. So may He reveal Himself to us this morning. If there is any veil upon our hearts, may He remove it. That we may this morning behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This morning we will share on the revelation given to Peter the Apostle. Peter was brought to the Lord by his brother Andrew. You remember when Jesus passed by, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And two of his disciples who were standing with him, they left. and follow Jesus. One was angel. And then they spent that day and night with the Lord. And the next morning, angel went to find his brother Peter and said, "We have found the Messiah, the Christ." And he led Peter to Jesus. Evidently, Peter was also a disciple of John the Baptist. He was prepared by John for the coming Messiah. Evidently, Peter had full confidence in his brother Angel. He believed what Angel told him. So he went to see Jesus, ready to believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah. When he came to the Lord Jesus, the Lord looked at him. Now the word "look" here in John chapter 1 is not just a glance, a casual look. The look here in the original Greek is looking carefully. Or to put it another way, our Lord Jesus looked him through. You know, Peter usually was a very outspoken person. He usually was the first to speak. But somehow, when he came to the presence of the Lord, he was speechless. The Lord looked over him, looked into him, and the Lord said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah, and you shall be called Peter, a stone." In this first encounter, there doesn't seem to be a direct revelation of the Lord. But there is a tremendous revelation at that time. The Lord said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah." Now, probably angel had already told the Lord Jesus of his brother, most likely. So it is nothing strange for the Lord to say to him, "You are Simon, you are son of Jonah." And yet there is something different there. When the Lord said, "You are Simon," the Lord looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah." That is what you naturally are. You are nothing but Simon. He that is of the flesh is flesh. Your flesh is weak. Is sinful. Is corrupted. No hope for that flesh. But you shall be called Simon, a stone, a living stone. Brothers and sisters, here is a tremendous revelation. It is a revelation of Simon. Do we know our name? Certainly we do. But do we know who we are? We don't. We think we know who we are. We think we know what we are. You remember in Isaiah chapter 50? Verse 11, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and among the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Brothers and sisters, when we examine ourselves, when we look into ourselves, what we do is we kindle a fire and compass ourselves with the sparks. We walk in the light of our fire and among the sparks that we have kindled. In other words, we examine ourselves, we look at ourselves in our own light, and when we do that, the Lord said, we shall lie down in sorrow. Why? Because we deceive ourselves. We do not know ourselves. No matter how we analyze ourselves, no matter how we feel we are honest with ourselves, we either overestimate or underestimate. We deceive ourselves. We do not know ourselves. And that is our problem. There is only one who knows us. Psalm 36, verse 9 said, in thy light do we see light. It is only in the light of God that we see light, that we begin to realize who we are and what we are. And brothers and sisters, such self-revelation, that is revelation of ourselves, that is not based upon our own light, but by the light of God. Such revelation is a prelude to the revelation of Christ. Or to put it another way, this self-revelation under the light of God and the revelation of Christ in that heavenly light actually are together. We will never know the Lord Jesus until we know ourselves. Or we can put it around and say, only by knowing the Lord Jesus do we know ourselves. Nothing more. The reason why we do not know the Lord is because we do not know ourselves. We trust ourselves too much. We think too highly of ourselves. And that blinds us from seeing the Lord. So in this first encounter, it seems that there is no direct revelation of the Lord to Peter, to Simon. And yet, in that indirect revelation of knowing who Simon is, giving Simon a kind of inner sense, this is what I am. It brings him to the Lord. It gives him a vision of the Lord. So, this is the first encounter. After this, most likely, Simon began to travel with the Lord. He most likely was one of the disciples who went to that marriage feast in Cana of Galilee, where our Lord performed the first sign to manifest his glory. Simon saw it. But during that period, he and the others, they travel with the Lord on and off. Not constantly, continuously. Not until one day, that is after John the Baptist was put into prison, our Lord Jesus began his public ministry in Galilee. There he walked by the Sea of Galilee. And he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They were casting the net in the sea. And the Lord passed by and called them, "Come, follow me. You shall be fishers." And Simon and his brother Andrew, they left the trawl net and they followed the Lord. As they followed the Lord, Simon heard what the Lord spoke. The Sermon on the Mount, he heard it. He saw the Lord heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, cast out demons, preach the gospel to the poor. He watched the life of the Lord. He stayed with him day and night. He watched him. The more he came to know the Lord, the more discouraged he became. The Lord is so holy, and he's so unholy. The Lord is so pure, and he is so corrupted. The Lord is full of light, but he's full of darkness. The Lord is strong, but he's weak. The more he knew the Lord, the more he felt he was an unfit. How could he be the disciple of the Lord? Would he ever make it? How could he be a fisherman? He was very discouraged. So when the Lord came to Capernaum, that is Peter's place, you notice that Peter went out to fish again. Why did he do that? When he was called, he left the net and followed the Lord. Now he's going back. To fish. We need to understand Peter. He was on the point of giving up. Not because he was despair of the Lord Jesus. He was despair of himself. I couldn't make it. So he was thinking of dropping out. Through the night, he couldn't catch one fish. In the morning, he was washing the net. And the Lord came. A great multitude came to the Lord. There was such a crowd by the seaside. So the Lord asked Simon, "May I use your boat?" So the Lord got on his boat. And they left the shore a little bit, so he would not be crowded. And then he spoke to the multitude. After the Lord finished speaking, the Lord said to Simon, "Launch to the deep and cast the net." Simon, look at the Lord. "Master, I'm a fisherman. You are a preacher. You know nothing about fish. I'm an expert. But to honor you, I will do the foolish thing. I will go to the deep and cast the net. I know nothing." He's there. But when the net was cast, it was full of fishes. The net nearly broke. So he called his companion, John and James. And their boat came, and the fishes filled. When Peter saw this, he knelt before the Lord and said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man." The Lord knew what Peter was thinking. The Lord knew that Peter was thinking of leaving him. But there was no word of reproof. only kindness. All right. This is your vote. I have used your vote. I will pay you back. If you want to go, you may. I will not blame you. Such kindness melted Peter. Peter realized how sinful he was. He said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm unworthy." I began to see myself in your light. The only right thing for you to do is let me go. I will not be a problem to you, a burden to you. But in the heart of Peter, when he said, "Depart from me," actually he said, "Lord, will you please give me another chance?" Don't leave me. If you leave me, I'm finished. You are able to do the impossible. You have control over everything. You enable me to catch such abundance of fish, but there is no fish. Can you do this impossible with me? I'm an impossible person, but you can make it possible. You can make me a Peter, a stone, a fish or man. If you please, please do not leave me alone. The Lord said, "Fear not. I will make you a fish of men." Brothers and sisters, a further revelation of what Simon was and what the Lord is. He saw the glory of the Lord. And in the glory of the Lord, he saw his shamefulness, his sinfulness. Isn't that always true? The more you see the Lord, the more you see yourself. The more you see the Lord is worthy, great. Tender heart, full of compassion. And you see yourself as utterly unfit, unclean, sinful, unworthy. The Lord is not only to make you what He wants you to be, He has all the power to make you so. What an encouragement that is. And from that day onward, Peter left the boat and followed the Lord persistently. Never looked back. He committed himself to the Lord for his will and for his work. You remember in John chapter 6, when the Lord began to say, I'm the bread of life. I came from heaven. He that eats of me and drinks of me shall never die. And at last day, I will raise him from the dead. And many of the disciples said, this is hard saying. Too hard. And they left. And you remember the Lord Jesus turned to the 12 disciples and said, do you want to go too? If you want to, you may. And Simon Peter said, Lord, where should we go? To whom can we go? We have believed in you. You have the word of life. We believe you are the Holy One of God. We are stuck with you forever. Dear brothers and sisters, does this happen to you? Is there anywhere you can go? Is there any person you can follow? Is there any alternative in your life? If there is, you do not know yourself. You do not know the Lord. Your knowledge of the Lord is mental, is traditional, is religion, is not real. But brothers and sisters, if you really see the Lord, who He is, what He is, and you know who you are, and what He is able to do with you, is there any other way you can go? Any other alternative? Brothers and sisters, you are caught. You are arrested. You are stuck with Christ forever. Thank God for that. That's revelation. If you really have revelation, brothers and sisters, all the other ways are finished. There is only one way. Follow the Lord. Peter followed the Lord faithfully. After our Lord labored among His people, doing good, preaching the kingdom of God, declaring the Father, He was not accepted. Opposition arose. And our Lord Jesus retreated to Caesarea Philippi, to the border of a Gentile city. He was rejected by his own people. They did not know him. They knew him outwardly. We know he is the carpenter, the son of the carpenter. We know his parents. We know his brothers. His sisters stay with us. We know he had never been to school. We know him. But did they know him? No revelation. The Lord retreated, withdrew. Out of his own country. At the border of a Gentile city. And he turned to his disciples and said, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, is?" Well, the disciples tried to encourage him and say, "No, Lord, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They think well of you. Be comforted." And then the Lord turned to his disciples and said, "Who do you say I, the Son of Man, am?" And Simon Peter immediately said, "Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a confession. Confession is confessing the Lord under opposition. Profession is professing the Lord in friendly circumstances. When the world is rejecting this man, here is Peter. He confessed him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. "You are the anointed of God. You are sent by God with a mission to redeem the world. You are the Son of the living God. You are one with God. You are the delight of God. You are unique, supreme, alone, above all. You are the one we worship and we serve." What a confession. And the Lord said, "Simon, Bar-Jonah, this is not revealed to you by flesh and blood. Flesh and blood will never tell you who I am, who I really am." They couldn't. "It is my Father who is in the heaven who has revealed the Son to you. You are blessed." Did Simon Cain come to this revelation at that moment? No. It began with his first encounter with Jesus. But through the years, revelation begins to increase. As he was with the Lord, he saw more and more of the Lord. His faith was strengthened. that this is the Messiah. Truly, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. Point. He made the confession. Brothers and sisters, do we have this confession? We cannot, unless it is the Father who has revealed it to us. Thank God. It pleases God to reveal His Son in us. Brothers and sisters, we can never thank God enough. For eternity we have to thank God to reveal His Son in us. If He doesn't, where will we be? What will become of us? We are helpless, hopeless, finished, forever. Oh, the mercy of God, the great love of God, that He shall open our eyes and reveal His Son in us. That we believe in Him. What love that is. And then the Lord Jesus said, "You are Peter. I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." The Father reveals the Son. Only the Father can reveal the Son. Nobody else can. But on the basis of that revelation, the Son begins to reveal to us something more. The Father's revelation of the Son is the foundation revelation. And built upon that foundational revelation, the Lord Jesus begins to reveal something more. He said, "You are Peter." Now at their first encounter, the Lord already said, "You shall be Peter." But then, the Lord said, "You are Peter. You are a stone. Formerly you were but Simon, made of dust. And the dust will return to dust. That which is of the flesh is flesh. No hope. No use. But you are Peter. God has done a marvelous work in your life. He has made you a stone. A living stone. And I will build my church upon this rock." Brothers and sisters, it is the Son who reveals to us His church. Do not think that you can know the church just by hearing or by reading. Do not think that you know the church because you have heard lots of messages on the church. You have read lots of books written on the church. You have played the church. You have practiced the church. Maybe you have even built the church. paint the church, written on the church. You have accumulated so much information about the church. You are an expert on the church. Do you know the church? No. No one knows what the church is, but what the Son has revealed. And that is the problem today. We know too much of the church by tradition, not by revelation. And that keeps us from knowing the church. Oh, that we know nothing about the church. How much needs to be undone before the Lord can really reveal what His church is. You are Peter. I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You are Peter, a small stone, a piece of stone. But I will build my church upon this rock, that massive rock. You are not that rock. You are a stone. A piece of that rock. Who is the rock? The Lord Himself. The one whom Peter just confessed. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock. And because you confess me as the Christ, as the Son of God, you become a stone. And I will build you and many other living stones together on me. And make it my church. Peter understood. He knew he was not a rock. Or if he were the rock, then how shaky is that foundation? And the whole of superstructure will fall. Thank God he is not the Pope. He is not the rock. And Peter understood it. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he said, the Lord, He is the living stone. And as we come to Him, we all become living stones, a chip of that rock. And we are being built together into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, our Lord is the foundation. And out of that foundation,
He is building His church. The church comes out of Him. The church is built with living stones, with life. His life. In you and in me. In every one of us. In all of us. In all who believe in the Lord Jesus, from the first one to the last one, He will take us, build us into His church. He is not just saving us and scatter us all over the world. If you see stones scattered everywhere, it speaks of ruin. And that's the condition of Christianity today. We find God's people, thank God they are God's people. They are saved. They have life. But it seems as if they are scattered all over the world, each by itself. That speaks of ruin, not building. Brothers and sisters, the Lord does not take us and pile us together into a pillar. A pillar can be a monument, but it cannot be a house to dwell. The Lord does not want a monument. He wants a house to dwell in. How God's people today are just thrown together. Like a pile. Thrown together. There is no knitting together. No relating to one another. No joining to one another. No ministering one to another. Supporting, supplying one another. Building. What is building? Building is with purpose. Building is organic. It is not just an outward piling together. That's not a building. You don't build that way. The Lord said, I will build my church upon this rock. Oh, brothers and sisters, who is the builder? We hear lots of people say, so and so is a church builder. Well, if he is, he builds the Tower of Babel. Not the church. The Lord said, I will build my church. The Lord is the only one who builds the church. He's the only one who can build the church. Oh, if only we were step aside and let Him build. The more we help Him, the more we destroy His temple. The Lord said, I will build my church. Whose church is it? My church? Your church? No, His church. It belongs to Him. It is for Him to dwell. It is to please Him. It has to be built according to His delight. Not to please you. Not according to your delight. I like it this way. I like it that way. No. It is for Him to feel comfortable in His own house. And how the enemy will contest it. All the gates of Hades will be open and try to destroy it. For the Lord said, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Who can destroy what the Lord builds? If it is what you build, let it be destroyed, the sooner the better, that it may not stand in the way of the Lord's building. But if it is the Lord's building, brothers and sisters, no power, no darkness, no enemy can destroy it. The more it is attacked, the stronger it becomes. I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Oh, what a revelation. Dear brothers and sisters, are you a stone, a living stone? Do you know what is the Lord's will for you? Does He save you just through you as a scattered stone somewhere? Or will He just throw you together, pile you together with some other believers? Do you know that His purpose is to build you with your brothers and sisters, organically building you together upon Him with love? Do you know this is His purpose? Do you know He wants to dwell among His people and rest and be joyful in them? What a privilege that is, that we can be built together to be a resting place for our Lord. While He was on earth, He has nowhere to lay His head. But today, in the church, He can rest with joy. The Son reveals the church. Oh, brothers and sisters, may He give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may really see the church as He reveals it. Then the Lord began to tell His disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem. I will be rejected. I will be killed. But on the third day, I will raise from the dead. For the Father to reveal the Son is glorious. For the Son to reveal the church is glorious. You know, when we receive the revelation of the Father concerning His Son, He lifts us to the third heaven. Many testify when they first know the Lord, they literally walk on clouds. And when the Son reveals the church to you, brothers and sisters, it is so emancipating. It delivers you from your petty self, small self, and puts you into the boundless sphere. It liberates you. But then you find the revelation does not stop there. The Lord said, I will go to the cross. Then everything will be fulfilled. And you know Simon, he just received such tremendous revelation. And the Lord said, blessed are you. And I think he must be in the third heaven at that time. So when he heard the Lord said, I'll go to Jerusalem and be killed. My, you make a tremendous drop. Don't do that. So he hold to the Lord and shook him up and said, Lord, be kind to yourself. This is not necessary. You can have your church. You can be the head over all things without the cross. Have it that way. Ah. It sounds familiar. Somebody has already said it before. Peter is repeating it. And the Lord turned around and said, Satan, get thee behind. Because you're not mindful of the things of God, you're mindful of the things of man. If anyone should follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He that loses life for my sake shall gain it. He that gain his life shall lose it. The Son of Man shall come, and he shall reward each according to his doing. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the revelation of the cross. There can be no Christ without the cross. There can be no church without the cross. The world wants a crossless Christ. We want a crossless but you will never have it. Unless our Lord Jesus, the Word, became flesh. Tabernacle among men. Yes, full of grace and truth. But unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Brothers and sisters, to accomplish the work that God has sent him into this world. To be the anointed one to finish his mission. He had to go to the cross. Oh, how he set his face towards Jerusalem. Thank God. He not only took up his cross, he was crucified there. It is finished. The work is done. Now we have the Christ. And God has anointed him the Christ and the Lord. But brothers and sisters, do we have the church? If we as living stones will not allow the Lord to make us precious stones through pressure, through being buried deep down, through fire, if we do not allow the Lord to apply the cross to our lives, not only individually, but together, to make us fit with one another. Can there be the church? No. No cross, no church. The cross is the way to Christ. The cross is the way to the church. There is no other way. Brothers and sisters, do we have this revelation? Naturally, we shy away from the cross. But unless we are willing to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Him, not only we will not be completed, but the church will not be built. Today, the cross is not only a slander to the world, even among God's people, the cross is something avoided. It's not preached. All prosperity, success, no cross. Can it be real if there is no cross? Anything that has not come by the cross, brothers and sisters, is unreal. It's a counterfeit. It's a deception. It's not revelation. Revelation comes by way of the cross. Oh, may the Lord give us a willingness, just a willingness, and He will give us the grace. Then the Lord took three of His disciples, and Peter was one of them, to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there He appeared in full glory. It is a preview of the kingdom of God, the coming of the kingdom of God. And Peter was so thrilled. Oh, he said, Lord, it is good to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And we will just tabernacle here forever. And while he was yet speaking, the Shekinah glory of God filled that place. And he heard a voice. This is My beloved son, hear him. Oh, they were frightened. When they looked up, they saw no one but Jesus only alone. Peter received a revelation of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the Son over all. The kingdom of God is the Son who refused to exit from Mount Hermon, but will rather go down to Mount Calvary. Through suffering, he entered into glory. And Peter saw it. So, brothers and sisters, in the life of Peter, we find that he has received revelation after revelation. And by revelation, he knew the Lord. But again, revelation is always tested. How Peter was severely tested on every point of the revelation he received. How powerfully he testified, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And how he assured the Lord that even if the other disciples will deny him, he will never, because he's willing to go to prison and die with him. And in Luke chapter 27, the Lord said, "Peter, before the cock crow twice, you will deny me three times. But I have already prayed for you. Satan wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail when you are restored, strengthened, confirmed your brethren." And sure enough, when our Lord Jesus was being judged, Peter was in the court, denying the Lord three times. And when he denied the Lord a third time, the Bible said, the Lord turned around and looked at him. And that look is the same word in John 1 when he first looked at Peter. What a tender, loving, understanding look. Peter's heart was melted. He went out weeping. Severely tested. But how the Lord restored him. In John 21, before the other disciples, the Lord said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" You know, if you know the Lord, you love him. That's showing you know him. You love him. So the Lord said, "Simon, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know, I'm attached to you. I really am attached to you. I cannot say I love you absolutely. No, I have failed. But still I am attached to you." And the Lord said, "Feed my lamb." And three times the Lord restored him. In his relationship with the Lord. And he was really tested on the matter of the church too. Because you remember, in Acts chapter 10, while he was on that roof in Jaffa, praying. In the ecstasy, he saw a sheep coming down, full of unclean animals. And the boy said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. Peter said, no. I never eat anything unclean. And the boy said, what the Lord has cleansed, no one say this is unclean. But Peter, three times, Peter said, no. And the sheet goes up. And three men sent by Cornelius was knocking at the door. Brothers and sisters, that sheet is the church. There is nothing unclean there. No Jews, no Gentiles. All cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, but Peter said, no, not these Gentiles. We Jews are clean. No fellowship. But the Lord said, go. Did he learn that lesson? Not very well. In Acts 15, he did. In Galatians 2, no. He went to Antioch. He ate with the Gentiles because in the Lord there is neither Jews nor Gentiles. But when people from James came, my, what would they say? So again, he separated himself. So Paul, his younger brother, had to withstand him at face that the truth of the gospel might be preserved. And thank God Peter was humble enough to accept it. And even in his writing he said, our brother Paul has something very, very high. I cannot understand it, but it is the word of God. He learned it. He was tested in his matter of the cross. When the Lord was judged, he tried to avoid the cross. But then, at the last, he was crucified for the Lord. Oh, how he learned the lesson of the kingdom and the suffering. Read 1 and 2 Peter. He knew what the kingdom is. So, brothers and sisters, revelation constitutes ministry. May the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Lord, cleanse all these words with the precious blood. Quicken what is of thee into our hearts. Give revelation. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.